But we didn't. They didn't have the money for the utilities. And so I talked to my church friends about it, and they opened their purses, and out came all these $20 bills.
Wow.
And pretty soon we had the deposit for these people to move in before Christmas.
Ruth Upshaw and her church find great joy in helping homeless families find a place to live. She'll tell us about Resurrection House in a few moments as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of a praise song and the people down by the tabernacle, a challenging interview with a lady with a mission, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Christians all around the world sing this praise song. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Sing along with us. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Nurturing Our Spirits. It is written by Joyce Bender of Indiana. Joyce writes, I will wait for God to reveal the flowering moments in my life. The scripture reference is Romans chapter 8, verse 25. If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The Christmas cactus was exploding into bloom. The delicate white petals and the magenta throat of each blossom were lovely. But it was February. How carefully we nurture, coax, and tend our plants, which may bloom only once a year, and then not on our schedule. We wait, we care for, we expect the revelation of the glorious flower we have been promised. Can we do the same with our faith? Can we wait with hope for things unseen, trusting that God will reveal the promised fruits of life in exciting new ways, but in God's own time? Do we nurture and care for our faith by Bible study, prayer, and regular worship attendance, expecting insights, awaiting growth, and trusting in God? I want my life to be like the faith I see exhibited by our care of flowering plants, enduring the insects, plant diseases, and weeks of nothing but green leaves. I want to face the discouragements, the disappointments, and the doldrums of life with a hope for the flowering moments that God gives us all. I will wait for God to reveal the flowering moments in my life. May we pray. Creator God, help us to meet each day knowing that you are with us through each experience that we face, in the mundane as well as in the flowering moments of life. Amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time. I have back with me today on Methodist Hour a lovely lady. Her name is Ruth Upshaw, and we're in Sarasota, Florida. Ruth, you're a widow. I think you've lost two husbands, haven't you?
You're right. Yes, I have.
And you're living alone in a lovely apartment, but you are alone. And you're a churchwoman. You belong to a church.
I certainly do. I'm very active in my local church.
Well, that's great. What is your church? Tell us about it. It's not Methodist, I know.
No, it's a First Congregational United Church of Christ here in Sarasota.
Yes.
And I've been president of the Women's Fellowship, and I've been chairman of the Board of Outreach, and had a number of responsibilities in the life of the church here.
And Ruth, you're always taking on responsibilities. And last week we talked about Resurrection House. You volunteer to go there every afternoon during the week and minister to needy people. And that's a beautiful thing, too. Let me just say about Resurrection House that it's a huge ministry. The report is that 2,795 men and 582 women came through the doors of Resurrection House, a total of 3,377. There were 163 new clients and so forth. And this is a tremendous ministry, and you're up to your neck in it.
Yes, I go once a week in the afternoon and volunteer there. And sometimes I even give haircuts, Whitney.
You do?
I've done that, and I serve as a counselor and talk to the clients when they come in and try to help them along their way.
Well, now, Ruth, in your counseling, I'm sure you deal with profound and heart-wrenching problems. And you spend a whole afternoon there, and then you come home. Do you bring these burdens home? How do you deal with this, all of this that's laid on you?
It's strange, but somehow when I walk out of the doors, I kind of leave it behind. And when I'm with the clients that come in, I'm with them 100%.
Yes.
I often pray with them if I feel led to, but I don't always.
Yes.
Sometimes all they need is a bus ticket in order to get to the hospital. But sometimes there's a very deep need, and all they needed was just somebody to listen to.
Yes.
How down and miserable life has been to them at this particular time.
Yes.
So we have a little prayer together, and it helps that they've listened.
But you do literally meet material needs, too. You make all kinds of provisions for material needs.
We certainly do. There was one family I remember that I worked very hard with, and they were so excited. There were two young children, husband and wife, and they had come down from New England hoping to find a warmer climate and establish themselves here. And we were able to bring them so far into public housing, but they didn't have the money for the utilities. And so I talked to my church friends about it, and they opened their purses, and out came all these $20 bills.
Wow.
And pretty soon we had the deposit for these people to move in before Christmas. And I even took them shopping, and they got their groceries, and they got a few little things for Christmas, stretching their dollars and food stamps as far as they could go. And then he found a job, and I knew this little family was on their way.
You know, Ruth, the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And blessed, you are blessed by that. You find great joy in this kind of service, don't you?
I certainly do.
The rewards come to you, too.
I certainly do. When I see the courage of some of the clients who have been put out of work, and they don't have too many skills, and yet they are not willing to give up, and they keep working at it and go out there. So they give to me so much.
Yes,
and
wonderful.
I rejoice in whatever I can give to them.
How did you ever get started in this joyous ministry to needy people?
Well, in order to keep this organization going, Whitney, it takes about at least 100 volunteers a week.
Yes.
From all the churches in the area.
Yes.
And so there's always a great need for volunteers. And so a friend told me about this. And now that I'm fully retired, and I have time that I can give, I decided that in addition to working in my own local church, that I wanted to reach out into the community. I've been sort of sheltered and protected as a middle-class churchgoer, and I felt that this was an area that I needed to minister.
So, Ruth, we want to say to listening church members, keep your eyes and your hearts open. There's a place where you can serve, and there's a place where you are needed. So don't be just a church member. Get out there and minister for Christ and witness for Him with loving deeds, right?
You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Ruth Upshaw. This has been a beautiful witness on your part. We thank you.
Would come from miles around. There was prayer and there was power. There were blessings like a shower when the Wesley brothers preached the love of God, the love of God.
Now they're gone and times have changed, and the Wesley brothers sleep. But their message still is heard, where steeples rise and ivy creeps. And a million saints in glory sing and tell the wondrous story, how the Wesley brothers preach the love of God, the love of God. Unusual thing, how the Wesley brothers preach the love of God. How the Wesley brothers preach the love of God.
That was the people down by the tabernacle singing about the Wesley brothers and the love of God. You know, dear friend, that the early Methodists were mockingly called enthusiasts. I wrote this little poem called Methodist Enthusiasts. We're excited about Jesus. He has set our hearts afire as we feel God's Spirit sees us with a holy new desire. He's the radiant Lord of glory, lifting sinners to new birth. We must celebrate His story, see our Lord transform the earth. We must shout His revelation, bid sin's chains and pains to go. Jesus, Lord of self and nation, liberty and life, we know. Yes, dear friend, the love of God is the only hope for the world, and that love of God must be reflected to the world through God's people. Especially those who are excited about Jesus. For Jesus, when He is received, transforms and saves human lives and human society. What are we going to do now? That's the title of today's message. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 14, verses 8 through 14. Now Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Amen. Now I can tell you, Sergeant Angel was really rough, and he was tough on us. We were recruits going through basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia. They called him Angel. Well, one afternoon, I learned why he was called Angel. Our sergeant was a veteran of two wars and had seen a lot of frontline action, including two Purple Hearts. But I can tell you that in training, he sounded and acted like anything but an angel. Well, it was raining, and it was cold, and it was muggy, and it was our first real two-day overnight march. Well, just before dark, they let us out of that diesel-powered personnel carrier. We checked our maps and our compasses and our packs and all of that. But all I knew for sure that my wife was 600 miles away and I was somewhere in the pine trees in August in South Georgia. Angel's parting words to us were, he said, "Men, keep your ears open for rattlesnakes." Now, the truth is that that part of South Georgia is rattlesnake territory. They even have rattlesnake roundup tournaments. I mean, it's incredible. The rain was beating on my steel helmet. Now, friends, have you ever tried to listen for the noise of a rattlesnake in the dark, in the rain, while someone was dripping water on your head over the top of a steel pan? Well, it was a very long walk and a very long night. I thought so many times that night, if Sergeant Angel were here, he would tell us how to go and which way to turn and what to do if we did get bitten by one of those snakes. I also thought about how carefully and how painstakingly our Angel Sergeant had tried to teach each one of us how to survive alone at night in the midst of danger. In my own mind, I connected that night with this lesson for today. You see, Jesus was telling his good friends and followers that he was about to leave them. And I think I can hear Philip saying in his mind, "What in the world are we going to do now? I guess I'll go back to fishing. What about you, James? You want to go with me? And maybe we can get our old boat back." And you see, Jesus had told them that he was going to be with the Father. And Philip remembered, but he said, "Jesus, this is so hard to understand. Who is the Father? I mean, where is the Father? Or what does he look like?" "Well, Jesus, could you just show us the Father so we can at least get a grip on our situation?" Now, friends, understand this was not a lack of faith on Philip's part, but he simply did not yet understand the big picture. Now, you and I have had 2,000 years of history pointing to this understanding, but I think, quite frankly, that there are a lot of us today that still don't quite understand. Now, just imagine in your own mind that you're Philip or any of those disciples that night in the upper room. Think about the three things that Jesus said to them. Now, this is not a three-point sermon, but there are three things that he said is very important. First, he said, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. In fact, Philip, if that's hard to believe, just think about all the things you've seen me do. Have you ever seen anyone else do those things?" "Well, Philip, just believe in the works that your eyes have seen me do." Now, that's the easy part. The next thing Jesus said was, Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth." Now, Philip knew that God's Spirit, given to certain individuals, like in the Old Testament prophets, was there, but he had never heard of the Spirit of God going out to all people. Now, do you remember the third thing he said? He said, "Philip, you're not going to be alone, but you will be able to do greater things than I have done." Now, Philip must have been speechless. All in one short conversation, Jesus is going to leave them, go to the Father that looks and acts just like Jesus. He's going to send God's Spirit upon them. And remember now that in the minds of these disciples, they were still basically fishermen and carpenters and tax collectors and not highly revered prophets of their ancestry who had the Spirit of God within them. And not only that, he told them that they were going to do greater things than he was able to do. I can just hear Sergeant Angel saying to us in that dark night, "Now, I'm going to leave you here tonight because you will be able to do all this better than I can do." I remember a few weeks later, we were on the firing range, and to my surprise, I had just won first place in our platoon and second place in our company of 600 men. Sergeant Angel had taught me how to fire the M1 rifle. He came to me and he shook my hand and he said, "Private Wolf, I've been in the Army 25 years, but I've never scored as high as you have today in any time in my career. Congratulations." Now, I want you to think what happened to that handful of frightened disciples that day. You see, Jesus had ministered to and taught a few thousand people. Because those disciples claimed the power he gave to them that day, they were able to minister to and teach many thousands more, who in turn have reached millions and millions and millions and millions of people across 20 centuries. Now, some of you will know who I'm talking about. A young woman named Virginia, a college student then at Asbury College, met a boy named Burley. They fell in love, and Burley claimed God's call on his life to go to the mission field in the Congo. Burley was never ordained, but he was a pilot. He was one of those persons who could fix anything. Burley was murdered one afternoon while trying to take supplies and medicine to the very people who had killed him. Heartbroken, but not broken-spirited, Virginia returned to the United States, and I met her after she had written her first book entitled Appointment Congo. Through her book, her countless speeches, and her witness of life, Virginia has influenced thousands and thousands and thousands of lives across the world. Her children have ministered in Africa through teaching and medicine. Through them, her ministry continues to grow. Today, Virginia is married to Don Shell, and she's not in very good health right now, but their ministry as together has felt in so many places in the world. Countless people in the world today are Christians because of this young woman. Now, during his ministry, Jesus restored the hearing of scores of unnamed persons. Did you know that the United Methodist Men started a project about 8 years ago, and they began to collect old hearing aids? They had them restored, and then they sent them out to schools like in Haiti and in Russia and other places in the world. The project has continued to grow. This started with men in the Texas Conference, the United Methodist Church. Can you imagine what it was like when these young people, particularly children, received these hearing aids in schools that they were able to learn? Can you imagine the joy on a child's face who has never been able to hear his or her parent and hear their voice for the first time? And you know that ministry continues to grow. They're doing far more than Jesus was able to do. President Jimmy Carter is known across the world for his remarkable capacity to bring, you know, dissonant world leaders together for dialogue and peace. I heard him say one afternoon that the principles for living and faith that have guided him his whole life came mostly from his mama and his Sunday school class and a little church, a little Baptist church in Plains, Georgia. Now, while most persons know him as a former president of the United States and a world leader for peace, many folks do not know that he has a tremendous passion to stamp out world hunger and disease. Did you know that primarily through his work and his resources and deep compassion for people, Jimmy Carter played the major role in stopping blindness caused by the bite of the guinea worm? Thousands of persons across some 16 countries in Africa are now able to see because of the Christ he learned about from his mother in that little church in South Georgia, a little rural church. You know, Jimmy Carter has influenced the world. Literally, one man from a little town has influenced the world. Isn't that incredible? Sergeant Angel retired as a master sergeant. Some of the young men he trained have become generals in the Army. You know, their decisions influence national security. In fact, the security for the whole world. You know, you and I today, as people of faith, have the capacity and the power to influence the whole world for good for Christ. Now, we could say, what are we going to do now? Or we can say, this is what we are going to do in the world now. And we have to ask ourselves, what will you say? Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him?
Dear friend, remember that the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. What kind of fruit is your life bearing? One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love. And if you are filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, love will flow out of your heart. It's the love of God reaching out in compassion to hurting humanity. Be a part of the church and manifest the love of Christ. And thank God for the ministry of the church around the world. Across the centuries, it's been fantastic. Orphanages and children's homes and hospitals and missionaries going to the ends of the earth at great sacrifice of themselves to love and have compassion and help people who are hurting. That's the love of Christ. That's the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of Christ in the world. Be a part of that. What are you going to do now? Decide you'll serve the Lord. John Wolfe, we appreciate that message. Let's listen to another word from John.
Thanks, Whit. Just a word. You know, Whit, I was just as I was saying those last words, I realized, when you think about what's happening in the world today and you see what churches are doing, reaching in every place on the continents, I mean, it's just amazing how much we are doing. And those words of Jesus are so true, aren't they, Whit, that if we only recognize the power that God has given us as Christians through the Holy Spirit, we have such enormous possibilities that we can bring hope and healing and food to the whole world, can't we?
Yes, we can, John. Isn't it wonderful to serve the Lord and to be His ambassador, an ambassador for Christ in the world today? We hope, dear listener, that you are one of His ambassadors representing Christ to humanity in this world.
Whit, before we close, I'm going to share one more thing with our listeners. You know, it's amazing when you consider that in America, we have over 1,000 different Christian denominations. I mean, that's really incredible. Each one of us has a different style of organization and various theological differences. It's really hard to comprehend that because we all have Jesus at the center of our understanding. But one thing I do know is that of all the different churches I know about, they all have missions as part of who they are. The key task of any church is to spread the gospel and to care for one another and to care for everyone they can reach outside the church. I know that in our church alone, we have sent teams to Africa, Mexico, hurricane relief, disaster groups, and so many local missions. But I hope in this season we have right now, this place of so much chaos in the world, that the church across the world, we come together as one mighty force of hope and healing and not allow our differences to hold us back. One of our reconciliation team members is a Catholic priest. He goes by the name of Chaco. He said, John, on the mission field, we operate as one. We forget our denominational differences because our work is so difficult. We need each other to be able to do it. What a great word for all of us to remember. And I want to thank you today for being with us on Methodist Hour. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. You can call or text me on my cell, direct to me, 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162. And I really appreciate the texts that have come to me. Blessings be upon all of you. In His name, amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.